Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast. Great as always to have your time. I'm going to charge straight in. Time is precious. Time is the one commodity we all have the same amount of. We all have different talents. We all have different capacities. But the one thing that unites us is how much time we have. So whenever I'm dealing with people's time, it's valuable and I really want to just charge straight in. I want to set you up with the constant refrain that you'll have heard many times from me. It's originally from Tony Robbins, who kind of said, you don't need a whole bunch of great ideas to change your life. You just need one good idea that you're actually prepared to use. And the older I get, the more convinced I am that so much really powerful change happens when you just activate or actualize one really good idea. So I want to challenge you, don't make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, I'm going to get all my life in order. You know, it's called, Brian Tracy used to call this someday isle, and I've mentioned this before. You know, like think of an island in the Barrier Reef, right? Someday isle. You know, someday I'll do this. When this happens, someday I'll do that. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have to get everything in your life sorted out. Because so much of the time, you can really undermine yourself by going, well, if I just lose 5 kilos, and if I lose 10, or if I get this job, or if this person goes out with me, or if my spouse agrees to this, or when this happens, or when I get this promotion, then I'll be happy. The trick is, that never actually comes. You know, that moment of getting everything perfect in life. It doesn't happen. What does happen is just using what's in front of you and using good ideas when they come to you. And it's those small ideas that create incremental change. So don't sort of kind of think you've got to get the whole tapestry, the whole landscape, the whole big picture mapped out, painted on the wall before you can allow yourself to really start to grow and feel happy. So you hear me? Sometimes you just need this one little idea. And if you put that one idea into practice, it can have a really big impact. I firmly believe it. You can hear the sincerity in my voice. It's just that one key idea. And this week, I'm going to share one that's been incredibly powerful for me. It's hard to talk about in some ways because it sort of takes you on a bit of a journey with me, but I'm going to call this week's podcast, Don't Take the Off-Ramp. Okay, so forget most of what I say, but I want you to take away that little metaphor, don't take the off-ramp. So I want you to imagine you're on a freeway and you're driving along and you're cruising along really nicely, you're doing 100, whatever, and it's all good, and there's an off-ramp. And you're not sure if you should take it because you're not sure if it takes you to your destination and you're hesitating. So my message to you is don't take the off-ramp. So what is the off-ramp I'm talking about? Well, what I've learned in recent years from a huge amount of personal struggle and a lot of real personal hardship is this whole area of CBT or cognitive behavior therapy, or another way to put it is the little voice in your head. Now, in case you don't realize, there has been a little voice in your head for as long as you had language. It lives with us every single day. The best of us get to train it and use it, and we know how to ignore it when it's not helping us, and we know how to really listen to it when it is. So, excuse my sniffing, I'm not meant to sniff, but I have a terrible cold that's been with me for ages, and it's almost gone. I shouldn't have told you that, because now you're going to spend the rest of the podcast listening for a sniff, so I'm going to try very carefully not to sniff. But now, back to the podcast. This little voice has been with you for ages. It's just been there since you had language. It's that voice that goes, you'll never be X, you're never good enough, you'll never do this, if only you were like them. This voice is so powerful. And the thing about this inner voice is that it's often so subtle, so quiet, so present that we actually don't even notice it's there. We think that we're having this normal life, that we're just going through our day and then we're making decisions and thinking our thoughts. But friends, from the depths of my heart, I have learned through great personal hardship that our feeling states are powerfully linked to that internal dialogue. So often, if you're feeling terrible, there's an inner voice there that's going, you're no good, this will always be like this, this is terrible, you're out of money, you're out of luck, you won't get promoted, you can't finish this course, you don't look like them, you're too overweight. Whatever it is, that voice has such a power to control how we actually feel our emotional states. And it kind of amplifies itself. It's like one of those feedback loops, you know, when a microphone on a stage catches its own sort of, it catches its sound waves from the speakers and it feeds back into itself and you get that awful screeching. So I spent a large part of my life, honestly, and I'm going to be honest with you, really miserable. You know, this journey of depression that so many people are on, this cultural issue with depression. Now, I'm not a trained mental health professional, so whatever I say in this, please get professional input or guidance or help. I'm not giving you professional psychological advice. I'm just sharing something powerful I've learned, is that so many of us deal with negative feeling states because of we have experiences. So things happen to us in our childhood or as we get older. People say things or events happen and we have bad luck and things don't work out. It's never what happens to us. It's always about the internal dialogue. And I gave last week the example of Viktor Frankl in Auschwitz, seeing all this suffering, family murdered, you know, death everywhere, depravity. But he was able to choose the meaning and have a different internal dialogue. So I cannot stress to you enough how powerful this dialogue actually is. Now, there's a really cool book by a guy called Blair Singer, which I read probably a few years ago, and it's called Little Voice Mastery. So I do recommend if you're a reader, track it down, Blair Singer, Little Voice Mastery. I found it on the shelf again today, and I looked through, and I flipped these books when I've read them, and there's all this underlining through them. So if you're a reader, always underline, take notes in your books, because when you come back to them, the notes are there. So here we find ourselves on page 34, chapter 3 of Blair Singer's book, Little Voice Mastery. And there's a really cool line where he goes, so the first part of managing the little voice is to understand that you've got one. If you can step outside of yourself, acknowledge that conversation in your head and ask yourself, where did that come from? You are well on the way to managing it. So step one is to actually be able to catch ourselves in the millisecond when we're having this internal dialogue and actually question it, actually stop ourselves and go, is that true? Am I that bad? Am I this? Am I what I just told myself? Or when this person cut me off in traffic, or my boss spoke to me like this, or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my spouse said that, is that true? And in a millisecond, you'll suddenly realize that there's this endless internal dialogue going on. Which brings me to the metaphor. What I've learned, and I give this to you with real humility, but any wisdom I have has come from suffering. Any wisdom I have has come from getting this stuff really wrong and paying a big emotional price. And if I can help you and spare you any time with that sort of suffering, I want to do that. Here's what I've learned. As I slowly learned to master this inner voice and be conscious of what I was thinking and saying to myself, I had this metaphor of being on a freeway and there was an off-ramp. Now, what's the off-ramp? In this metaphor, the off-ramp is the negative inner voice. And it's always like an invitation. It's always like, come this way, exit here, take the off-ramp. And what's the off-ramp? Negative thinking, self-condemnation, self-judgment, self-criticism. Yes, there are times when self-criticism and self-reflection are very useful, but you know that's not what I'm actually talking about here. What I'm talking about is this invitation that we get in the millisecond in our inner voice when it goes, come this way, come back to depression, come back to overeating, come back to laziness, come back to anger, come back to blaming people. And it's always there. A circumstance will happen, you're cruising along, you're on the metaphorical freeway, you're doing 100, 110, it's all good, and then the invitation to the off-ramp will come. So what I want you to do is firstly start to think about the metaphor. Think about this inner voice that is constantly talking to you all the time. When you finish this podcast, just be mindful for 24 hours. Just say, for 24 hours, I'm going to be mindful. You know, some psychologists will say, get a little notebook and write down what the voice says. This will never happen. This will always go wrong. You'll always be this. No one will ever want to go out with you. You'll never get promoted. Whatever it says, just be conscious of it. And then you start to question it. You start to go, are you serious? Do I really think that? Is that true? And you start to have some control and some power. We actually have incredible power. I'm really learning this, that we can begin to shape our thought processes. And as we shape our thought processes, our feeling states begin to move in the same direction. I really mean this. I have seen it act out powerfully in my own life. And if you ask the source of all wisdom, Karen, my wife, she would say it's true. She'd say, yeah, in the last 12 months, I've seen a real change in Jonathan, how more settled he is, how more peaceful he is. Why? Because so many times when I am going through life and something happens, I can see the off-ramp a mile off. I can go, oh, I know where that one goes. And I want you to get to that point where you go, oh yeah, I know where that one goes. That one goes to overeating. That one goes to blame. That one goes to condemnation. That one goes to giving in. That one goes to just getting angry. And you just go, you know what? I'm not taking the off-ramp. Allow yourself to not take the off-ramp. Just go, I'm not going there. And if this sounds to you like, oh, that's just a trick. Yes, it's a trick, friends. And I'm finding it's a really good one that really, really works. And it works very powerfully. So whatever the particular thing is you face, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's, you know, overeating or laziness, or there's all these key things that different people face, whatever it is, the off-ramp will present itself to you sometime in the next day or few days. And all I want you to do is be conscious of the inner voice and go, firstly, question it, stand outside yourself, look at it and go, is that true? Is that real? You just be able to do that. And from there, we can decide whether or not we take the off-ramp. And think of the off-ramps you could take. You know, think of times in your life when you've been on a drive and you just discover some really beautiful terrain. You know, I remember ages ago speaking to a bunch of students, and the way to get there was kind of pretty windy country road. And I remember just driving and thinking, man, this is really beautiful. So you've got to have a time in your life when you were just driving somewhere and it was really pretty. So here's a metaphor. Why not take the off-ramps that take you to really good places? You know, what about you're cruising along and you get an opportunity to feel great or to do something fun with somebody or to do a new experience? You go, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm taking that off-ramp. You have so much more control than you actually think you have. And we've got to stop giving our control away to circumstances. So many people just say, oh, it's the circumstance. You know, if the economy was different, if this was different, if that was different, well, if that was true, you explain why there are some people who are just living really happy lives. Oh, they got born that way. Bollocks. No, they didn't. They had experiences, and yes, they might have had things easier than you, or they had better teachers, or they had, you know, better opportunities, but they still learned to think differently. Their thinking moves their feeling states reinforce the positive belief systems, and the thing starts to move. I have lived this. I know it to be true, and I don't want you to waste any more of your life living any differently. So let's wrap it up. Summary. There is an inner voice that has been talking to you since you first had language. It's conditioned by experiences, by family, by a whole bunch of stuff, but it is not real. It's not an autonomous, real thing living inside you. It's a construction of our consciousness and our psyche, and you have, you know, the kind of superego, you have this capacity to impose control over what you believe about what it says, and even to control what it actually says. By not taking the bait, by questioning it, by laughing at it, by listening to it when it's giving you its best stuff, and by ignoring it, ignoring the off-ramp when it's giving you its worst. So that's your homework. Next 24 hours, listen for that voice. What is it saying? Listen to the ludicrous things it's saying. It has probably been running your life for years, maybe your whole life. And why not let this podcast be the time that it began to stop? Maybe get a copy of Blair Singer's book, Little Voice Mastery. Get a copy of my book, Bridging the Gap. Listen to more of these podcasts. Whatever works, but don't take the off-ramp. Today at work, when someone says something and you go straight to your normal inner voice, you go to your pattern, don't take the off-ramp. Go, wait, you know what? I'm not going there today. I'm just going to choose to stay on the freeway and it's all good and I'm going this way and I'm not going back to that old way of thinking and being and taking that detour that ruins everything. I have some control. So, friends, only thing I ask, grab the podcast, send it to 5 friends. Say, hey, listen to this. Post it on your Facebook wall. Grab the link from the podcast. Post it on your Facebook wall. Put on your Twitter feed and say, hey, listen to this. I really like it. I love people to have a listen to it. I'm going to be doing more life coaching going forward. So if you have an interest in life coaching, I'm doing some more study in that area. So yes, I've got a couple of master's degrees and other things, but I'm actually now moving into this area of really effective life coaching. I sat there with Karen last night, we're talking. I said, you know, Kaz, what is it that you think that I'm most passionate about? And she said, well, honestly, you just love helping people. And I, you know what? Honestly, I do. I just love it when people come to me with a problem and they just stuck. And I just love listening to people really carefully and just giving them tools. So that's where I'm headed in the time ahead. And I'd love to help with that if it's useful. But share this with people. Grab a copy of the book on the website here, Bridging the Gap, if you haven't got a copy. It's a really cool book, 8 Strategies on How to Change Your Life. I'm Jonathan Dore. I've enjoyed this one. I really hope it's useful to you. Share it with people, and I'll be speaking with you again next week.